going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, the easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
What if I want to talk about Fight Club?
Don't.
Welcome on in. We made it. Friday is here.
Woo-hoo.
Hello, everyone. Dan Weinbaum.
Hello.
How are we?
We are well.
Samuel, we got Logan back there. I'm surrounded by more men today than I usually am when Scott's here.
Whoa.
Just am. It's a fact.
Okay.
You know, I'm the only woman on this floor in the afternoon. I've got the entire floor to myself.
I think you're one of two women on the air.
On this side.
In the building.
That is correct.
Just period.
That is correct. Yeah. How's everybody doing? Scott will be back on Monday. He posted a darling photo of the two of them right before they left, and they just said headed back home.
He called me this morning to brag about the fact that he was still in paradise and that he was packing up to head home, and just had to brag.
Like, it's always good to get home because I love it here so much. But is there anything quite like that heavy, like, oh, the day you have to get up and pack and come back? It's like,
well, and that's always part of the conversation is what is that perfect vacation? Because if you are traveling to a destination where you're flying for anywhere from 4 to 6 hours, you then have to get there and spend the first few hours unwinding from the fact that you just traveled.
It burns a day.
You unpack your bag. All of a sudden, day one is done.
Yep.
Now you've got, what, 2 days, and then day three or day four, all of a sudden you're spending the day packing up to get on the plane to travel home.
Yeah.
So what is that perfect vacation threshold?
7 days.
I thought you were going to say 7 weeks.
Mm. Or months.
Yeah. Can I get a full sabbatical?
Or months. We got a whole bunch of stuff in the stack today, but I am the most excited about the 3 o'clock hour. Most of you know the name Alexis Del Cid. She was on the air for years in this town and now works as a communication specialist for one of the hospitals. And if you do not follow her on Facebook, you should, because her father recently passed. He was a 45-year newsman, Dan. Did you know that?
No, I did not.
45-year newsman in Chicago. And he just passed of Alzheimer's disease. And instead of shying away or running away from that awful diagnosis, as a career journalist, he said to her, let's chronicle this. I want you to talk about it. Even when my mind is gone and I don't know up from down, I want you to talk about it. To not only educate people about the caregiver process, about the disease, about the progression.
And it's such a vulnerable place to be because you have no control of the fact that you are, and it, for lack of a better term, losing your faculties slowly over time.
Yes.
And there's a lot of people who think that they're going through all of this alone, but they're not.
And her posts showed that. You guys, I think she did so much for so many people by being just honest and raw and open about what that journey was like for their family, for her father. They posted videos, photos, some of them funny, some of them heartbreaking. Like sometimes she would say, you just have to laugh and here's what happened today. And so now that we have lost him, we are going to go back and look at what that journey was like for Alexis, for her family. And then now, where are we with Alzheimer's research? With like the entire goal was, let's bring awareness to this. Let's help people.
Yeah.
Where are we in that process? And we will speak with her in the 3 o'clock hour. And I'm just so, she's been so open about sharing all of it. And, you know, I wanted to give her some time. And then I said, you know, when you are ready, would you come onto the program? And she said, I would absolutely love to.
And I had one of those interesting chances in life where my grandfather, I didn't know him my entire life. He moved back to Kansas City at like 92 years old.
Yeah.
And was already far into dementia. So he was already to the point where he was forgetting his kids' names. He was forgetting anything and everything.
Yeah.
And I got to build that relationship in that window. And going back and reading a lot of what she had written, it took me back to those memories and what I had experienced with him kind of as he got to know me.
Yep.
In a space where he couldn't remember, you know, left from right or who his own daughters were.
Let me give you an example of one of the things she wrote, and it brings a smile to my face to this day. He would always say to her when she was stressed out, he was the first call she would make, Dan, the first person she would reach out to for advice. Like they were just extremely close. And he always made her laugh, always knew what to say. And one of the things he would say when she was going through a difficult time was, "Aw, honey, don't worry. Nothing's going to be okay." As a joke, nothing's going to be okay. And she writes, "The other day when I hugged him, he messed up his signature line and instead announced, don't worry, everything's wrong." And she writes, "I must admit, like at this point, I like that line better because everything seems to be wrong." And so there's just these beautiful, poignant moments within, you know, an otherwise just always heartbreaking disease that we still don't fully understand. And she's kind enough to share some of her thoughts and stories about that in the 3 o'clock hour. And we are going to do that. Not looking to make this a topic again. I don't know what it is about Overland Park and the dog bite specifically with the dog and or owner that runs off.
Yeah.
This is in our stack about once a month. And you might think, well, it's because people are out walking their dogs more because they've got a nice trail system. This has to be the dog bite epicenter of Johnson County.
You have an unruly dog. For whatever reason, you think you can take that unruly dog wherever you want to go. Dogs have emotions. They get overwhelmed. They get anxiety. And when they're in that mind space, they tend to freak out. And if somebody catches them off guard, they will bite. But you can't just walk away.
That's always what happens in Overland Park.
Sorry. Hope you have a good day.
This bite led to a hospitalization, you guys, and police are asking for your help. This is from Channel 5. Overland Park police are asking for the public's help locating a dog that was involved in a biting incident yesterday afternoon that led to the hospitalization of the victim. Police say the person was hospitalized due to their injuries, bitten near 95th and Mission Road, which is just peak neighborhood.
Oh, yeah. The Ranch Mart shopping center is right there.
There's that little gas station, yep. But tons of houses surround that 95th and Mission corridor.
Jure Bar's Catholic Church is right down the street.
Yep. According to police, the dog's described as a 30-pound black, brown, and white short-haired terrier type canine. The owner was described as a slender woman with dark hair, 25 to 30 years old. That narrows it down to almost every woman in Overland Park. The dog was on a leash at the time of the biting. Mm-hmm. Here is my question for you. Your dog is on a leash, attack someone to the point they need to be hospitalized. How do you just walk away from that and go about your business?
Now, in some cases, I could understand maybe, just maybe, the dog owner thought to themselves, well, maybe they didn't actually connect on the bite. But if the bite is bad enough that they had to go to the hospital,
There's going to be active bleeding.
Yeah, that tells me that there was bleeding going on. That tells me that there was some sort of interaction between this dog owner and this victim. And she decided for whatever reason that her dog and her walk were more important, and she just completely ignored the fact that there is now a victim who needs to go to the hospital.
You know what else they're going to have at 95th and Mission Road? About 56,000 surveillance cameras.
Oh, absolutely. I believe there's a bank on the corner right there.
Overland Park police are asking for you to call if you know this person. Like, if the person's listening, you know this was you. Did your dog attack someone yesterday? Now they're hospitalized. Get in touch with the police. I won't hold my breath. The story that we're going to start with today, I think, is going to bring understanding from half of you and anger from the other half. There is not going to be a gray area with this story that we bring you from Channel 41. For almost a month now, a Blue Springs neighborhood has had an ornery pair of turkey vultures damaging property. Neighbors have tried air horns, running out waving their hands, Mylar balloons, $60 effigies from Amazon, even dead turkey vultures hanging upside down in trees to scare off the pair, all to no avail. So the Missouri Department of Conservation says it is time to take the next step.
Well, turkey vultures are federally protected.
I had no idea.
Oh, yeah.
That those ugly things that face only a mother could love, and probably not even then,
well,
were federally protected.
Well, they're very important to our habitat.
So MDC submitted a permit to the USDA because they are federally protected following a meeting with neighbors earlier this month. The permit has been approved by the USDA to kill the birds.
They've got such a beautiful sound, though. Who wouldn't want to hear that?
Okay, one of the things that they are citing for the euthanization of these federally protected birds is that the pair is going around eating windshield wipers.
What?
I swear to you, Sam. MDC, Missouri Department of Conservation, says the reason for the euthanization is that the windshield wiper eating is a trait that the pair could pass on to its offspring and teach to other vultures.
Is there just not enough carrion in the woods for them to?
But can I just ask you, like,
roadkill?
Why would you not, like, if they're federally protected, just pick them up and relocate them somewhere where there isn't a neighborhood?
Would they not also typically go somewhere where there is more food opportunity? You know, they're turkey vultures. They're scavengers. They're the ones that circle above dead things.
If you live in this neighborhood, I've got to hear from you. One of the neighbors that talked about the story, Linda Davenport, says her head is constantly on a swivel to make sure the birds aren't in her backyard, damaging her hot tub or on the front of the house or on her husband's truck. She says, honestly, I know God loves all creatures. And there was one morning I was like, Lord, I was so frustrated. I was like, I know you created these for a reason, to clean up dead things. Can we please send them back to the country?
And why do we federally protect birds that it seems like there's millions of them? Geese.
They're protected under the Migratory Bird Treaty Act because they're migratory birds.
We will get into that. But the windshield wiper eating was the last straw, and there is now a waiver, and they are going to trap and kill the birds. 913-586-7798. Do you live in that neighborhood? Do you have turkey vultures in your neighbor? I just thought they were ugly. I didn't know they damaged property. We'll take your calls and your texts on that straight ahead. Stick with us.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Oh, Never in a million years did I think I would have the opportunity or need to Google turkey vultures and windshield wipers, yet here we are. It is true that turkey vultures, and particularly black vultures, can damage windshield wipers and other rubber or vinyl parts on vehicles. While their main diet consists of, is it carrion? They've been observed to peck at or tear at items like windshield wipers, rubber seals, and even truck bed liners. The reason for the behavior is not fully understood, but it is theorized that it might form of practice for tearing and biting, a rite of passage, or simply because the materials are easily accessible.
Yeah, you mentioned carrion. That is just a fancy term for dead animals. They are a scavenger bird. They are also known to go through the garbage that we leave outside.
But windshield wipers aren't dead or animals. What is happening? Let's go to Ken in North Kansas City. Hi, Ken.
Hi. Hey, a little insight on your vulture. Those are the ones that are eating all that rubber and everything are almost every time are black vultures. I've got a place down at the lake, and they have found a boat ramp that they like. And I won't say there's hundreds in there, but there's a lot in there. And you can't hardly park your vehicle in there, boat, anything without them attacking it. And another thing that's bad about them is they sit there and they eat the windshield wipers, and also they just excrete all over the car.
Oh!
It is a big, big mess. And the Corps of Engineers are aware of it. They don't do much about it because, yes, they're protected federally. So, it's a big mess.
I looked this up, Ken. Again, never thought that would be on my bingo card, but here we are. There are other communities who have posted signs in big, bright, bold lettering, and the sign reads, "Warning, vultures may cause damage to your vehicles. Park at your own risk." And there's video of, I'm going to send this to you, Sam. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's video of 6 of these gigantic, ugly.
Yeah, they are not good
destructive
looking.
Birds. And they have, the 6 are just on the hood. Oh my God, there's 4 more on the roof. It's a Ford pickup truck, and they are just tearing the wipers apart.
Well, and there's rubber seals around your windshield, around your side windows. I mean, there's a lot of opportunity, if that's what they like to chew on any vehicle, to tear that up and cost you a lot of money.
I'm going to send you this. This is crazy.
Now, this is wild, and I understand that this is a wild idea, but why don't they just, like, gather up some roadkill? Because there are people that drive around and gather roadkill as their job. And just kind of leave them a trail, kind of like breadcrumbs.
To get them out of there?
Out of Blue Springs into, you know, a wooded area. Here's
my question. The phones are ringing. Do they tend to mate and then come back to the exact same place? So that if you picked them up and drove them to, I don't know, Swope Park or somewhere. But then there's cars there. I don't know where you would drive them to, but if there are windshield wiper eating turkey vultures, is there not another option? I would have to think, because they're federally protected. If there were another option, the USDA would know that and would have explored that. My guess is when they nest, kind of like the Macy's Town Center goose mama, she comes back to the same parking lot space every year at the Town Center Macy's. Every single year, lays those eggs. They cordon off a couple of the parking spots. And then those babies hatch, and then they're gone for another year, and she comes back. Maybe that's the issue here, that if they tried to move them, they would boomerang straight back. I don't know. We have never talked about this on the program ever, but apparently this destructive behavior is a thing. 913-586-7798. We have one line open if you want it. We will take your calls straight ahead on Dana and Parks. Stick with us. So This is happening in Blue Springs, but if you look this up, it's actually a far more prevalent issue than I ever would have guessed. When you look at the level of property damage we're talking about with these gigantic turkey vultures, it can be significant damage, and not just to your car. They like tearing into soft materials like roof shingles. I wouldn't consider that to be a soft material, but they do.
That also would not be a cheap repair.
Nope. Window caulking, vinyl, vehicles, and, quote, electrical transmission towers. Their droppings and vomit also contaminate surfaces, leading to aesthetic problems and potential health concerns.
I had mentioned before the break that there was a lot of other rubber on cars that these guys could go after. You sent me that video of the, it looks like 10 of them.
Is that not crazy?
On the Chevy truck. They're going after everything. It's not just the windshield wipers. So, you know, like on most vehicles, there's that black bar above the doors that's
right.
A rubber seal.
Right.
They are ripping that thing to shreds as well, and that is a costly repair.
Here's another one. Vultures may tear at swimming pool covers and enclosures. Do you know how expensive a swimming pool cover is? And I'm not saying you kill the birds. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying this is not, I think, you know, a $6 windshield wiper repair if they get to your property.
By the way, if these are black vultures, Missouri has an outlet to take care of the problem.
Let's go to John in Lee Summit. Hey, John, go ahead.
Yeah, I feel like the damage to the property is minimal based on the fact that they clean up on the roadkill. The disease and bacteria spread by all those dead animals laying on the road that they actually pick up and dispose of for us far overweighs any damage to the property. And really, we're in their environment anyways. They don't know the difference. They don't know that where the forests are in the trees end, you know, and then this is not-to-be-touched stuff.
John, I'm with you. And I said this at the beginning of the discussion, that half of the people that have dealt with these birds are going to completely understand this decision. And I think the other half are going to be angry and say, why do we have to kill the birds? I get it. I can see both sides, though. Let's go to Diane and Shawnee. Hi, Diane.
Hi. Yeah, I don't think they like roadkill, because we watched a turkey vulture pick up a dead squirrel out of the street, come over, drop it in our yard, take a couple bites, and then he left the dead bird in the yard.
Oh, gross!
I mean, the dead squirrel, yeah.
If you look, that's so gross, Diane, but thank you for the call. If you look, Channel 41's been out to this neighborhood a couple times. You guys. Oh, my God, Sam. I sort of thought it was tongue-in-cheek. I didn't know that they were being serious, that they are hanging dead turkey vultures in driveways. They have gone on Amazon, purchased what looks like a very real turkey vulture, and those are now hanging upside down off of a 2x4 in this residential neighborhood.
You got to get creative.
That's one of the things I saw. The other thing on this brand-new GMC white pickup truck, full-size GMC white pickup truck,
yeah.
They have tethered balloons, helium balloons, on the windshield wipers and mirrors that are blowing in the wind to try to keep them away.
So from the Missouri Farm Bureau, if you have an issue with nuisance black vultures in Missouri, you can get in contact with the Missouri Farm Bureau, fill out a form, and they will give you a permit to kill 10 of them annually.
Oh, only 10 annually. There's also video, if you look this up on Channel 41, of just entire chunks out of the, this looks like the metal part of the windshield wiper, the actual hardware part. Let's go to Hetty in Prairie Village.
Hi there. Thank you. Love your show.
Thank you.
If they could find out if they like tires, they could put all these tires out of landfills.
That is a great point.
And have a buffet for them.
That is actually a great point and would be somewhat useful. You know, I don't know that there are enough turkey vultures in the world to clean up some of the tire waste around town, but I'm here for it. Let's go to, let's go to Robert in Blue Springs. Robert, welcome on in.
Hey, Dana, how you doing?
I'm good. Did you see one of these things?
I don't live in that particular subdivision in Blue Springs, but what's funny, I went to my sister's house this morning off 68th in Indiana.
Yep.
There was two large turkey vultures sitting on top of the roof.
They're also defecating all over people's cars. And that's just kind of gross, and you don't want to have to clean it up. The biggest thing is one of the truck owners says they have taken the rubber out of the top of his window, damaged the seal on the window, pointed to scratches and damage on the truck, and they are, quote, trying to eat the bed rail on my truck.
Wow, yeah, it's crazy. And, I see, like, where my sister lives is literally probably about four blocks from Swope Park.
Okay. Thank you for the call, Robert.
I do see reports that they will eat the bed liner out of a truck, and those can be thousands of dollars.
A couple of neighborhoods have gracefully volunteered to have what's called effigies hung near their homes. An effigy, I usually think of that in a political sense, but not in this case.
Yeah.
All that is a dead vulture, and what happens is you get the vulture high enough, whether it's on someone's house or in a tree, suspended upside down, and it basically acts like a warning, don't come near for other vultures. Effigies aren't new to the neighborhood. Chris Duarte bought one for $60. It is not a dead bird. It's an actual, like, you know, plush thing that looks like a bird. And he says not only did that not work, quote, I think it's attracted more of them.
Yeah, and why do they zero in on that particular neighborhood? It's not like we don't have vehicles over town.
They do not know.
Yeah.
They do not know.
By the way, it says here from the Missouri Farm Bureau that they will inflict damage on livestock by plucking out the eyes, disemboweling, or eating the tongues of newborn animals.
Oh, God!
So it's not just dead animals they go after. They will go after anything that is weak.
Let's go to Glenda in Kansas City. Glenda, you might get the last word. We have one line open, though, if you want it. We might have time for two. Go ahead, Glenda.
Okay. Hi. Love your show.
Thank you.
I like the idea about the balloons on the windshield.
Yeah.
But balloons are horrible for the environment.
Right?
They go up and other animals eat them and die. So I thought I might suggest they have these streamers that you can buy on Amazon.
Yeah.
They're like silver streamers. And I tie those to my wooden deck to keep woodpeckers away from my deck. And so I wonder if those could somehow be, you know, attached to the, they do the same thing. The wind would blow them around.
Yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
Be a deterrent. So just a suggestion.
I also wonder, Glenda, I've never done this, but do the fake plastic owls really work? I know we give Scott a hard time about the one that blew over in 20 mile an hour winds in his yard, but do those work at all?
Well, I had one on my deck and I've never seen anything that it scared, but there's also one in my garage that I had never put out, and it scares me all the time when I walk into my own garage.
It scares you, not the animals.
Exactly, yes.
Thank you for the call, Glenda, very much.
Now, I
appreciate
it. I think they work in most cases. It's obviously not a perfect science, but they will act as a scare tactic, kind of like the scarecrow out in the field, to kind of keep birds out of places where you don't want them.
I haven't brought this up yet, but we have a pair of pigeons, and I think that they're friends, or maybe they're life partners. I don't know. And they have decided to move into our balcony. And I will come out really quietly and open the door and look. They poop everywhere. One of them likes to perch up on sort of the railing on the right, and the other one likes to hide all the way over by our little outdoor couch on the left. We have a cat. I have taken the cat outside. Our cat is either dumb or blind or both, and we will say, go get that bird, go get that bird. Cat looks at me like I'm an idiot, goes over to the bird last night. This was just last night. I plop him down right behind the bird. And she looks at it, then looks up at me, and then turns around and walks away. If the cat doesn't work to scare the bird, I don't know that a fake owl is going to help the problem that I have. Let's go to Ann in Butler. Hey, Ann.
Hi. I moved from the city out to the country, and I've had a problem with black vultures. They are not afraid of anyone. You can walk right up to one, and it'll try to get you. And they're huge. They're about, they can be about 4 feet tall. And they're the ugliest things in the world. Their heads and neck are red, and they're just grossest thing in the world. But they're not afraid of people at all. And I don't think if you shot one of them that it would make them stop, the rest of them not come by.
And I don't have they damaged any of your property?
No, actually, when we have nuisance animals like possums in our barn or at the house, we will shoot them and put them out there. And then there's this hierarchy between all of these vultures about who's going to eat it and who's not going to get a chance. And we just have it down in the pasture that we don't know what to do with. And they're just out there, just they will spend a day or so just working on a possum. And they'll make it gone.
And then do they move on or do they come back? Because I think, Ann, what I'm wondering in Blue Springs is the reason they're going to euthanize them. I think for whatever reason, they've settled on this neighborhood. And I think if you don't euthanize them, they will come back.
Right. I think that's probably true. And I think that, well, around here, they have so much area to be able to go around. But you do worry about your cats and you do worry about, you know, any small animal that you'll have out there. But there's a bunch of animals that will come after them.
And thank you for the call. Matt in Olathe. Hi, Matt.
Hey, Dana. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Good. I told Sam something else, which I'll tell you here in a second. But I was driving one of my kids to school recently, and there's this huge field right before you get to it. And we saw two gigantic animals, like, in the distance, to the extent that I was like, what is that? So I actually pulled a U-turn so we could go back around and take a picture.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what they were until I think the caller just before me or two before me was like, they're huge. They're like 4 or 5 feet tall.
Oh God.
And they were eating the grass or something. And I was like, that is a scary looking thing. Like, I don't know what that thing is. But like 15 years ago, my wife's kind of redneck uncle at Thanksgiving, we never saw, he's one of these people you see like once a year.
Yeah.
And he started telling me the story about how he would take his rifle and go into the country and just shoot turkey vultures from his car while moving because they'd be right on the side of the road.
Oh, God.
He hated them so much. But, like, I guess he was doing everybody a service, right? I don't know.
Anyway, yes, until the feds arrest you, Matt. I love the story. But I think, have you ever seen, like, every once in a while, if you would look at the old jail log, Sam, for who's been arrested for what? Every once in a while, there is something, and it is the Department of Conservation arrests so-and-so for, and obviously if it's a bald eagle, that person's going to prison. But sometimes it's like, took one more deer than they should have.
Crazy Uncle Steve was driving down the road
shooting
with a beer in his
vultures.
Hand, a shotgun in the left, and he was shooting turkey vultures. And in those small towns, they put every single arrest in the newspaper.
Oh, yeah, they do. Let's go to Teresa in Lee Summit. Hey, Teresa.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, good. Go ahead.
So I was driving to the Lake of the Ozarks, and I had just gotten a new car, and I was all excited to drive it down there. I had my two dogs in the back seat, and I'm on our lake road, which is about 5 miles long. And I'm about right in the middle, and there's a huge bird in the middle of the road, so I slow down. Well, I guess I scared him to death. And then he dropped his roadkill all the way from my hood, landed on my sunroof. Thank God I just closed it. All the way on my back window and the trunk of my car. So I'm like, what do I do? Do I turn around and go to the car?
Oh, gross.
Or do I go to the house because my husband wasn't there yet? And then I'm going to have to get this stuff off. So I get out of the car, get my dogs in the house, and it was a bunny leg, and it had maggots. The maggots were crawling.
Oh, no maggots, no maggots, no maggots. Oh, gross. All right, that is the last time that word is going to be uttered on this program. Let's go to Steve in Paola. Hey, Steve.
So I live west of Paola out in the country, and we have vultures out here. But we also, every year, I put up purple martin houses. And I don't know if you know what a purple martin is.
I do. My grandparents used to have a martin house.
Yes, and they eat every mosquito on my place. I can go all summer without a mosquito out here. And We have two houses. And the other thing they do is if you have hawks or vultures in your area, they will attack hawks and vultures from below. Oh. They go up and they hit them on their tail feathers, and they will drive them out of your area.
Huh. Steve, thank you for the call. We're up against a break here. I just had no idea that people all over were dealing with this thing.
I did not expect people to be, one, so passionate about turkey vultures, right. And two,
so knowledgeable.
I didn't expect to get PETA'd about it. I mean, we have gotten some callers that were like, hey, we need the turkey vultures.
Yeah.
Also from the text line, never shoot a possum. They eat ticks. Or an opossum. Which one is it here?
How about we just stop discharging firearms willy-nilly toward wildlife, period.
That's a good general
rule. You
know,
unless it's like a bear charging at your family.
Well,
and even then you could be arrested. That was in our stack this week.
Yeah, you'll get arrested for that.
That was arrested. 913-586-7798. Back with much more straight ahead. You're listening to Dana and Parks. We will wrap up our conversation about the battle in Blue Springs to get rid of a couple of turkey vultures that are wreaking havoc in the neighborhood. And the Missouri Department of Conservation has gotten some sort of waiver to come in and euthanize the birds. Never have we been so educated before about something we knew so little about.
I mean, I bet Walmart and O'Reilly Auto Parts really appreciates the turkey vultures.
I bet that they
People
do, too.
People are coming in for some new wipers every couple of days.
Let's go to Jim in Shawnee. Hi, Jim.
Hi. I'm in Mexico for a vacation, and we were in a tour bus. And the tour bus driver stopped, and I was sitting up at the front, and I talked to everybody. But he would not move the vulture. The vultures were in the road, and he stopped and waited. And I said, why don't you just creep up on me? He goes, it's against the law. It's against the law to harass them or to kill a turkey vulture in Mexico because they do so much cleanup as far as disease and stuff. They do a lot of good. I know it. I think some of these are fish stories you're getting on 4 and 5 foot tall turkey vultures. But
man, I don't know, Jim.
I think those are emus.
Emus? I don't know about that. Let's end this with Steve in Lacine. Hi, Steve.
Hey, how are you today?
So good. Go ahead.
I'm a cattle rancher. I run 600 mother cows.
Huh?
It's not a bit uncommon to find baby calves with their eyes pecked out and their urinary tract pecked out, and the they like to eat the groin part down underneath.
Oh, my God.
A baby calf, when it's born, is pretty defenseless until it gets its strength and nurses and stuff. And that's takes a cow, a mother cow, 9 months to produce that calf. And that's a whole year's work is getting that calf going. And it is heartbreaking to have to go out there and kill a baby calf that's got its eyes picked out. I've raised a couple that they ate the muscles, the tendon in their leg, you can't, if there's a breath of life there, I bottle feed them, I take care of them.
Yeah.
And sometimes they make it. I'm going to tell you, this is not a deal. I've talked to Fishing Game, I've talked to Kansas Wildlife. You know, everybody just acts like it doesn't happen. Nobody wants to deal with it.
Now, Steve, they have a permit in Missouri where if you have farm property and you have nuisance black vultures, you can kill 10 a year if you get approved for this permit. Is there something like that in Kansas?
Not that I know of. And, you know, the other thing, they're hard to kill. If you don't have a pretty good sized rifle, the feathers will deflect a bullet because they're heavy. And all the ammunition I buy says it has a range of 1 mile. And if I shoot a gun and it goes off my property, it's a felony for me.
Correct.
And so the things don't sit and wait for you to zero in and shoot them because they're flying. I can look up around in my neighborhood and see 20. I've got a barn at Mound City, Kansas. I've seen 30 sitting on the roof there.
Steve, we're up against a break. I'm sorry to cut you off. 30 on a roof.
He has been plagued by turkey vultures.
That is something out of a Hitchcock film.
He is passionate about it.
Coming up, we are super excited to bring you the 3 o'clock hour today. It will be the bonus hour. The world lost a great man. A great man recently with ties to our town. Jim Johnson's daughter. Many of you know her. You at least know of her. You know the name. She is going to join us live in the 3 o'clock hour to talk about the disease that stole her father.
And steals the parents of so many.
Just so many of you out here have dealt with this.
Or know somebody who has.
And in this case, she used her very public voice and her skills as a journalist to chronicle what Alzheimer's disease did to her family and to her father. And we're going to talk to her straight ahead. She's in the parking lot. I got to run down and go get her. We will bring Alexis Del Cid up and then have that conversation in the 3 o'clock hour. I hope you stick with us for that.
I didn't mean to go squirrel, but there is literally a turkey vulture flying outside of the station right now.
Don't shoot it.
It's against the law.
Back with much more straight ahead on Dana and Park. Stick with us.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.